Well, good morning, Hope. It was actually it was great when the mic turned off because Pastor Kim had so much power behind his prayer and his voice that I was blessed a little more without the mic. I don't think I want to do that for my sermon, but I don't have enough power for that, I don't think. And I can also sympathize and relate with Brittany when she teared up as she hears your voice. And that happened when we were first allowed to gather for when I was here, and as I was leading worship, just to hear real voices. Although it was still masked at that point, but just to hear your voices together in gathered worship, so I can relate how beautiful that is. It's a double blessing. So we were blessed at that time when we were able to gather. And now, as we can hear your voices louder, and as God allows us to gather for worship like this without masks, even if you still have it on. Everyone goes at their pace. But just, I have my mask on all the time. And the goal is not to love that mask. The people who do wear the mask, it's not their goal to have it on for the rest of our lives. We want to be there with you. But I think showing love and humility is sympathizing and understanding where people are at and being with them wherever they are, whether they're masked or not. And so it was just, yeah, this is not part of the sermon. It was beautiful. I share it with Brittany. It's great to gather again for worship. The government said, oh, there's no more capacity limits. Ironic, because this morning at 9 a.m., I don't think people cared whether there was a limit or not. It was still daylight savings time, and so it was hard to get up in the morning. Hence, we have a bigger crowd here for the second service. Thank you. and so for today, I want to invite you to look at what is commonly called the Jesus Farewell Discourse. So we're talking about John chapters 13 to 19. And it is called this because here, as Pastor Dave mentioned before, the gospel writer John slows things down way, way down to focus on the road to the cross. To put it in perspective, so the five chapters from chapters 13 to 19 all take place within one 24-hour day. But before we get into chapter 13 for our text today, and I'm blaming Dave for this because he got us behind in the sermon series, we weren't able to look at John 12. And so really briefly, I want to invite you to take a look at John 12. And so picture with me this scene in the gospel narrative. So we're at John 12 right now, where the gospel narrative is, and where the scale is getting bigger, is what I want to communicate. The tension is building. The tension between Jesus and the Jewish people, the Jewish leaders, are rising. And this is exactly when Jesus enters Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, you remember, with a great crowd shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he, blessed is the King of Israel. And so as this tension grows, and as Jesus prepares for the final stage of his ministry on the cross, he turns his focus to his disciples, to his own. And so Jesus is turning directly at us, asking this question, do you receive my love? So I want to invite you to witness the double aspect of the gospel message from our text this morning, the indicative and the imperative. So let me explain, the indicative and the imperative. This text of John's account of the gospel of Jesus Christ wants to tell us, wants to show us, our identity as receivers of Christ's love. Our identity, that's the indicative. And our mission in Christ to overflow that love onto others, which is the imperative. And I said this in the first service, I understand that overflow is not a verb. I can't use it like this in this sentence. But it just, that image I want to communicate and get across is that overflowing of God's love. And so our identity as receivers, first and foremost, and as overflowing God's love onto others. And so if you have your Bibles with you or your app, please turn with me to John 13 as we continue witnessing to his gospel. We're at John 13. Now it was just before Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Then he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well?" Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For Jesus knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked his disciples. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Amen. You will be blessed. Now verses 1 to 3 in this chapter sets the stage for the whole foot washing scene. And I suggest, along with many scholars, that it also sets the stage for the whole gospel narrative. Jesus' act of washing his disciples' feet foreshadows the cross and the washing away of our sins. So both the foot washing and the work of the cross represent God's eternal love for us. And thus, verse 1 in our passage today says that Jesus, knowing his time had come, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And this last part, "love them to the end," also has the connotation in the Greek to be rendered as, "he loved them most perfectly," or "he loved them uttermostly." And so we sang the song last week, "Is He Worthy?" And before Dave did his blessing, he emphasized and he told us how he loved that one verse where it says, "And does Jesus, our Messiah, hold forever those he loves?" He does. And that's the song. And so hear the good news this morning, Hope. God loves his own forever. And however we may falter away from him, however we may reject and try to reject his love, he does not stop loving us. The importance that our passage today signifies for us today is that we need to receive this love. And so be reminded of our identity. This is the indicative that I was talking about. We are loved by God, and we are loved by him forever. And so going back to the beginning of verse 1, John tells us that it's just before the Passover festival. This is so significant that it is during the Old Testament Jewish festival of Passover. I'm sure most of you know all the details here, but just as a reminder, this is the festival which celebrated to remind the people of God of God's deliverance and salvation from slavery when they were in Egypt. Now Jesus, on the Passover, is getting ready to save his people from slavery to sin. Jesus is accomplishing and fulfilling the old covenant as the long-awaited and promised Messiah, the Christ. And so he is God's redemptive mission. And as we witness Jesus fulfilling this promise, God's redemptive mission, it is very important here to highlight in verse 3 the sovereignty of God. In verse 3, it says that Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from him and he was returning to God. We can say with confidence from this that everything is under God's care and sustenance. God is in control against sin, having planned it so that when his time had come, in the fullness of time, Jesus got ready to accomplish God's sovereignty over against sin. And so we can say, even in the darkest of times, even in the midst of the sufferings and devastation that is happening in the Ukraine, we can still say, God is in control. It is still in God's care. And the good news is that this sovereign God is loving. His loving, redemptive mission is accomplished by Jesus' work on the cross. By his own death and resurrection, he defeats the powers of sin and death once and for all. He is accomplishing God's mission and fully establishing God's kingdom here on earth in new creation. And that is now inbreaking and it is inaugurated into the present through Jesus. The full work of God's kingdom, of God's redemptive mission, is broken into through the work of the cross into the present. And so it is no wonder Jesus says those three significant words on the cross. It is finished. Jesus does not say it will be finished or it is somewhat finished because I started it. He says, actually it's one word in Greek, tetelestai. It is finished. It is a proclamation that his kingdom has now fully come. It is broken into. What I have said so far is a reflection that we get from the first three verses of our chapter today. In these three verses, the whole gospel narrative of God's redemptive plan is included. And from these three verses, after showing us, explaining to us God's full mission, what's the first thing that Jesus does here? He turns to his disciples and says, and prepares to wash their feet. That's the first thing he does. Now, there's so much to unpack with the washing of feet. But suffice it to say, the two main aspects to focus on this morning again are our identity as receivers of God's love and our mission to overflow that love onto others. And so the first one is our identity. The identity that we have is that we are loved by God. And most importantly, we receive God's humble love enacted in the foot washing, which also points to the love enacted through the cross. A teacher or master washing his own disciples' feet was unthinkable in this cultural context. That act of love, that humble love. Now, coming from an honor-shame culture myself, I can relate to this well because my culture actually demands that I do not even show my back to my elders or superior, let alone have that elder wash my feet. So I don't know if you've noticed, but some of the Asian families that are here, if you see them saying goodbye to each other, so when we're going home after service, we're going home and let's say somebody older or my superior or an elder goes to his car, I wave him goodbye, but I don't just go, oh, goodbye, have a good day, and then get into my car. It has to be, all right, goodbye, bye, 네, 가세요, 네, bye, okay, go, hurry up, go. I can't turn my back on you, go, get in your car, right? I didn't even notice that I was doing this, but then my wife Moon, she's like, yeah, you can relate to this here. Remember how you don't turn your back. So it's just embedded in me. It wasn't intellectually here. It was just, oh, this is how I live. So when somebody older than me goes, I don't turn my back until they leave. And to have this embedded in me and to have that elder or superior come and wash my dirty feet is just unthinkable. Too intimate. And I think I'm speaking more to myself here. This explains a part of the reason why so many Korean Christians, maybe it's similar in other cultures as well, are so quick to want to do something when they join a church instead of receiving. Now, you have to hear this clearly. I have nothing against serving the church with the gifts that God has gifted us with. But serving without knowing the why can be harmful. It is harmful. Another commentator says this about the foot washing in John. He captures this well. He says, too often, a moralistic theology has seen only an ethical meaning in Jesus' foot washing, and so has lost the power and center of our text, which is Jesus' love for us. This is like the disciple Peter in our passage today. You see, Peter also doesn't understand that unless he receives God's love, he has no part with Jesus. And so, as we can relate, instead of receiving, we are sometimes so focused on doing and forget the why behind what we do. In my last sermon a few weeks back, I shared about how I had my conversion experience when I stopped being religious. I grew up in the church, but until I truly received the good news that God loves me with unconditional love, until that happened, I did not truly believe, meaning I did not truly entrust my whole life to this God. All I did was do all the imperatives of what this Christian religion demanded of me as a pastor's kid. And so it is so crucial and significant that we do not forget and neglect our identity first and foremost as receivers of God's love. That has to come before we can be a blessing that overflows onto others. And so may these words of the gospel really be good news for you today, Hope. We are loved beyond measure. And the foot washing and our forgiveness of sin that is God's love enacted toward us is God's downward grace to us. It is God's downward grace to us. And so I use this imagery in the first service of how we are sinners. We are like a broken bowl. I know Sid used this before when he was talking about serving as a church together and how we are all sinners, broken pieces put together in a Japanese art form that he used as an image. I want to steal that a little bit, but I want to talk about like ourselves as individuals, as sinners as well, who are all broken, but by God's downward grace, he puts us back together as a bowl. And imagine and think of God's love and his grace as water that flows down onto us and it fills this bowl. But the important part here, the two aspects that I want to get across this morning are that identity as receivers of that love, but also that mission of how God's love is poured out and it doesn't stop when it's full, it keeps flowing. So what I'm trying to say is that you have no choice but to do the imperative. This water keeps overflowing, whether you like it or not, when you receive that love. As sinners, that's where God meets us. And so one of my favorite, most favorite verses in the whole Bible is Romans 5:8, where it reflects God's love for us. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still sinners. Only when we believe and receive his grace are we empowered to carry out the imperative, which is our mission in Christ. You see, God does not wait until we do all the imperatives first and wait until we are good enough and then says, okay, now I love you. while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Hope, do you believe that you have received God's downward love for you? Now, about now, we should address the issue of feet. Why feet? Why does it have to be the foot washing? Yeah, I get that it's the humble aspect. That's one part of it. But why feet? And I want to add a second perspective here. Why did Jesus wash the feet and not the hands or the head like Peter was asking? The first aspect of this, the first part of the reason of foot washing, as I have mentioned over and over, is God's humble love toward us. You can't get any humbler than what Jesus did as the teacher and the superior of his students than wash their dirty feet. That's a very important part that we should not forget. But the second reason, I think, reflects the second aspect that I want to get across today. It reflects our mission. The imperative, the mission we have in Christ reflects the washing of feet. Why? Paul explains it well when he quotes Isaiah, asking this rhetorical question. In Romans 10:15, Paul asks, "How can anyone preach, so proclaim the good news, the love of God, unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring the gospel, the good news. How beautiful are the feet." So why feet? Because we are sent. We are loved, and then we are sent. You see, Jesus even says this. After he washed his disciples' feet, he says to them, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Now, if you're anything like me who grew up in the church, it's ironic how sometimes we think that Jesus is just giving us more commands to follow, just new set of laws, just interpreted in a different way. Old Testament, Ten Commandments, okay, I get it, but he fulfilled it, he accomplished it, and then he translated that for us so that we can follow a different set of commands. But this is actually an invitation that as servants and messengers of Christ, who are no greater than him, we can enjoy a truly blessed life if we follow his ways by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. It is not just a set of new commands to follow and become all legalistic once again. It is an invitation. It is a blessing. Jesus is showing us that in him, we are more fully human. We are more fully ourselves when we are one with him. In other words, if you can picture this, it might be a little confusing. It was for me. It is our identity that produces the fruits of our mission, and then our mission of loving others becomes a blessing for us, which is part of our identity as well, of being loved and blessed. So it's an ongoing cycle. You receive the love of God. It overflows onto others, which is our mission. And as that overflows, that overflowing itself is a blessing for us because that's what it means to live as a truly human being. What a beautiful cycle of a blessed life in Christ. So what does a blessed Christian life look like for you, Hope? How does your identity as a receiver of the love of Christ overflow onto others? In your homes, in your workplace, in your daily living, in what ways does the world witness Christ in your blessed life? It can be as simple as being humble enough to admit your mistake and apologize to your 4-year-old son. It can be praying for someone you know who is struggling or is sick, or sympathizing with someone who feels too shamed or unloved to come to church. It can be living in gratitude because we know that we too are sinners who have received his love. And so talking to Dave this past week, he reminded me of the beautiful truth of how when we are in the presence of God, however that happens for you, through devotions, through prayer, through gathered worship, through family worship, and when we are reminded of our identity as receivers of God's love, God opens up, I love this, I can't give full credit to Dave because he got it from someone else. God opens up our imaginations, opens up our minds and our hearts to think of those who really need the love of God. For me, when I'm doing my devotions, being in the presence of God, and I must admit, this is very irregular. Don't hear me like bragging about how I'm so devoted every day of my life doing devotions. But as irregular as it is, when I'm in the presence of God, the Holy Spirit opens up my imagination, my very limited imagination, and He opens it up. And every single time I do devotion on my kitchen table, because we're so close, I live in like a townhouse complex where my neighbors are literally my neighbors who share walls. We share literal walls. And so whenever I'm in the presence of God, God reminds me, you need to love your physical neighbors that are around you. I want you to share my love with them. Now, I haven't done a good job of it, but it can be like just having a conversation with my neighbor who lives next door. Just saying hello, how you been? Haven't seen you in a while. And then all of a sudden that 5 minute, not even 5 minute, that 2 minute conversation that you had in your mind becomes a 30, 40 minute conversation because he's been struggling with COVID, mental challenges because of COVID, just the struggles. As a pastor, I have this, I put this on myself. As a pastor, as an up and coming pastor, how can I be more pastoral? How can I live into my identity because God called me to be a pastor? I feel like I'm not doing my mission enough. I feel like I'm not a pastor enough for people. And so I'm like, okay, how can I be more creative? How can I pastor more people? Should I ask Dave for more phone numbers from our church so that I can call up everybody and say, okay, I'm a pastor too. What do you need? That's like, I shared this in the first sermon. That's like an image not of a bowl that overflows, but it's like me taking a water gun, filling it with God's love, water, and then trying to spray everyone with it. That's not the image that the Bible tells us. We are a broken bowl put back together because we ourselves are sinners. We receive His love and it overflows. Sometimes it's intentional. Sometimes it's not. Just the hi, how you been? And then all of a sudden, can I talk to you? And so I want to invite you this morning to receive His love. And in being reminded of this identity as receivers of His love, let God open your imaginations to whom you can serve, to whom you can bless. And that is why our feet are beautiful. I think I have ugly feet, but God says that my feet are beautiful because my feet are the feet that sends me to share the love of Christ to others. And so your feet are beautiful. However you may think of your feet are beautiful. You are sent by God to share His love. And so it is my deep desire this morning that you hope you live into this identity as receivers of God's love. Let's pray. Loving Father, we thank you so much for this morning. We thank you that you continue to guide us as we, whether we like it or not, Lord, you remind us that when we are in your presence, you overpower whatever intentions that we may have. That you guide us and you lead us with your wisdom to share this gospel truth this love that you have shown and have given to us so that it becomes an overflowing love onto others, which is such a blessing. We thank you that you have allowed us to be a blessed people. I pray and I seek your continual wisdom and guidance so that you can open up our imaginations and we can reach out to those who really, really need your love, Lord, wherever they are, in whatever situation they may be in. Help us to meet them there and to share your love. Guide us, Lord. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray.